Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. This coming week is Thanksgiving. Folks, we live in the freest, safest, most prosperous nation in the world. Despite all of our challenges, we need to be grateful to God for our wonderful nation and continue to work to make it better. My wife and I have another reason for liking Thanksgiving. Our wedding rehearsal dinner was held on Thanksgiving Day 56 years ago. We were married the next day on the 25th of November. And then we went to the Army-Navy game on our honeymoon.
You're such a romantic.
Well, it was great. I mean, all 4 years I was a cadet at West Point, we lost the Navy. And with Maryland sitting next to me, we won for the first time I ever saw. So it was awesome. Well, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, you've been out looking for Bambi. I understand you've got a few of them.
Oh, yeah. So far, if this were the Army-Navy game, I would be ahead. If this were a football game, I'd be ahead 3-1. I had one getaway this morning, but I've shot 3 does so far. I'm out there trying to get, the big buck, and they're a little tougher than the does, but hey, Marine Corps is going to do it. We're going to pull through, Colonel.
Hoo-ah. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss perhaps why our southern border remains wide open. There is no good reason, but I think maybe I figured out why. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. General Jerry Boykin will share his book for men, Strong and Courageous. Then Army veteran John Tellier will discuss his career and his business, Jetco, which just might be able to help you in your business. We'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games, and then we'll discuss the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel. Of course, we're going to start by the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, the Ukrainian military carried out stabilization measures near the southern city of Kherson last weekend following the end of an 8-month occupation by Russian forces, a retreat that cast a further pall on President Vladimir Putin's designs to take over large parts of Ukraine. People across Ukraine awoke from a night of jubilant celebrating after the Kremlin announced its troops had withdrawn to the other side of the Dnieper River from Kherson, the only regional capital captured by Russia's military during the ongoing invasion. The general staff of Ukraine's armed forces said Russian forces were fortifying their battle lines on the river's eastern bank after abandoning the capital. About 70% of the Kherson region remains under Russian control. Quote, even when the city is not yet completely cleansed of the enemy's presence, the people of Kherson themselves are already removing Russian symbols and any traces of the occupiers' stay in Kherson from the streets and buildings, Zelensky said.
The Ukrainian people are amazing. They are fighting for their country and holding their own, even beating the largest nation in the world. I'm glad we're supporting them, but it is time for the European nations to do much, much, much more.
And our army is sending its 3 most senior leaders to public schools to speak to students and key education officials across the country in a bid to rekindle relationships as the service struggles to reach out to Generation Z. The move is meant to reconnect the army with students after recruiters were largely barred from schools during the coronavirus pandemic. Part of the recent push from senior leaders is to dispel common myths of military service. That includes the idea that the Army's standards have lowered or that the service only offers combat roles, whereas those jobs actually make up an extreme minority of the force. Some of the myth is recruits are folks that can't hack it in the real world, a general said, referring to some of the perception of service in the civilian world. Our standards are extremely high, so high it's hard to find recruits. The Army struggles aren't solely tied to pitching service to the public. It's also difficult to find solid applicants, as only an estimated 23% of 17 to 24-year-olds are even qualified for service. Widespread obesity is also a major recruiting limitation. Because of that, the Army launched a pre-basic training course last summer in which applicants who failed either the entrance exam or did not meet service body fat standards can attend for up to 90 days for tutoring or to lose weight. The Army fell about 25% or some 15,000 soldiers short of its recruiting goal in fiscal 2022, which ended September 30, marking the most challenging recruiting year since the beginning of the all-volunteer force. The Army National Guard is in an even worse spot, coming up short on recruiting while struggling with keeping troops in the ranks.
Our military is having a real challenge here. Not mentioned in the Army's report is the way our military is treating troops who don't want the COVID jab and the way we abandoned Afghanistan. There is and should be real concern about our military leadership.
Yeah, you know, Colonel, you know, that the obesity thing, I mean, that has always been there. There's always a certain percentage that are overweight. It's probably more now, but when I was in boot camp, we called it the fat body platoon, and there's a way to lose weight. You exercise and you stop eating.
You know, that sounds strange, but that seems to work too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Highly effective. All right. Well, last month, the Navy quietly shut down its Child Development Center at Naval Air Weapons Station, China Lake, California, between October 20 and 24, after seeing video footage of sanitation policy, food safety, and accountability and supervision violations, the service claimed. Then, as the Navy kept reviewing the footage, the service said it found something worse. On November 1st and 2nd, violations of the Navy Child and Youth Program's touch policy were found and substantiated to be child maltreatment, reported a Navy spokesman. One parent who saw a tape of staff interacting with her child described the footage as showing, quote, he was harmed, physically, emotionally, and mentally harmed. It took a month and a half after the incident that was caught on tape for the parents to find out about what had happened. They said this delay was because it took over 2 weeks to review that video in its entirety, a process that began October 19 as part of normal standard operating procedures.
It's terrible that the touch policy was violated. Terrible. But once you become aware that something bad has happened, how could it take 6 weeks to finish viewing the video and notify parents and take any other appropriate action? We can't tolerate the touching, and we can't tolerate the delay in notification. Something seriously wrong here.
And the European Union has recently unveiled new proposals to help its armies move faster in times of conflict and to boost cybersecurity, saying that Russia's war on Ukraine is a wake-up call to bolster Europe's defenses. Quote, I think it's a wake-up call for all of us. We must reinforce our ability to defend ourselves and also to defend our values, the European Commission Executive Vice President said. The proposals aim to identify gaps in European infrastructure, such as roads, bridges, rail lines, ports, or airports incapable of handling heavy or large military equipment, for priority upgrades and to ensure guaranteed access to fuel supplies right across the continent. They would also cut red tape by developing a joint electronic administration system to reduce the time that armed forces on the move might be caught up by border formalities or customs and tax rules. Currently, armies can face waits of at least 5 days to move military equipment across borders for war games and other maneuvers. The EU and NATO routinely combine forces together for military exercises, but also have rapidly deployable combat brigades for use during times of conflict. U.S. military officers have long warned of the administrative and physical barriers to moving forces around Europe. Cybersecurity standards and certificate requirements should also be bolstered, and joint funding provided to help countries invest together in more modern cyber capabilities.
Well, I certainly agree with this decision. While they're at it, the European nations should increase the size of their militaries so they can defend themselves. Our military is not very deployable at the moment, and it's getting worse. Europe needs to look out for Europe. You know, I was stationed in Europe for 3 years and visited at other times. The European nations, they're getting better since Trump leaned on them, but they're still counting on America to defend them. That's crazy. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's cv4a.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with General Jerry Boykin about his book, which is a call to biblical manhood. At ease, troops, take a break.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the FBI, 85% of altercations don't rise to the level of deadly force. Make sure you have some open-handed self-defense skills or pepper gel to ward off these less than lethal attacks. Always have a plan to repel non-lethal attackers and make sure you are in compliance with all self-defense laws in your jurisdiction. This is just one way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because people are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I eat it. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check PatriotFoods.com. That's PatriotFoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Along with all other veterans, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. I've got several academic degrees, have traveled to a number of nations around the world, and have carefully studied many more countries. It's very, very clear to me that the United States is the world's most prosperous nation and offers the most real freedom to and safety for its citizens. Despite the fact that we have many citizens who vote in favor of an open southern border, thus allowing drugs, disease, criminals, and human trafficking, and are anti-police, and they voted for children to be allowed to elect sex-changing surgery without telling their parents, and much worse stuff, this is still the best place in the world to live. Speaking of the southern border, among other officials, our vice president has made a very clear statement more than once that the border is secure. This while literally millions of illegal aliens and criminals are crossing our border every year. Our border is literally collapsing. Our brave Border Patrol agents are prohibited from doing the jobs of protecting our nation. And while maybe our cognitively challenged president may believe it's true, clearly the others around him know the border is not secure. As I've discussed on this show before, it's clear that the Biden administration wants our southern border wide open. The question is, why? However, last month, it has, perhaps, started to become clear. We learned that Secretary of State Blinken is actively engaged in a campaign to break down all barriers between our nation and Mexico. Put in another way, the huge influx of Mexicans and other foreigners across our border is merely the first stage in an effort to, shall we say, eliminate or blur the border between not just the U.S. and Mexico, but also Canada. It's called the North American Union, NAU, and it's been around for decades. During the period 2006-2008, President Bush was pushing it. During a joint news conference with Mexico's President Calderon, President Bush commented that they had discussed, quote, how to make our nation safer. He did later correct that statement to say both our nations. In 2005, the leaders of the three nations met to create the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. Shortly thereafter, a Council on Foreign Relations white paper called Building a North American Community included this statement, quote, our economic focus should be on creation of a common economic space that expands economic opportunities for all people in the region, a space in which trade, capital, and people flow freely, end quote. That idea seemed to go away, and now it seems to have come back. The problem is that our thriving economy, our somewhat safe environment, and our well-educated population, why would we want to be merged with Mexico? It's worthy of note that Canada's democracy has become very dictatorial, much like the Biden administration is pushing on us, so that merger would be a good fit, as our government might see it. However, if you see what's happening as a plan rather than as incompetence, then the collapse of our southern border makes sense. If our nation can be devalued by importing crime, drugs, and cheap workers, then when the NAU is proposed to our citizens, it might make more sense. This very likely means that cartels will be controlling much of what goes on, and a great deal of our economy will have moved to Mexico. It is reported the Mexican president has, in a letter to Secretary Blinken, referred to their discussion of a, quote, regional constitution to be carried out in furtherance of an economic agenda, indicating such features as open borders, shared technology, and the distribution of oil, end quote. Okay, our economy's a mess. We have so much national debt right now that our great-grandkids are going to be paying for it. And we're still printing money and spending it like crazy. We clearly see that as the high and growing higher prices in groceries and gasoline continue. Our military is really good at using proper pronouns, but not at conducting combat. Doubly so because we've given away most of our reserve stocks of military supplies to Ukraine, and we've used up most of our petroleum reserve. So where is all this headed? I don't see anything positive for the American people. The people in power and the government will continue doing quite well, but not you and me. And what will our kids inherit from us? Folks, the recent election, when a failing government was not washed away and this North American union has risen its head again, should make all Americans realize that our constitutional republic is at real risk. We citizens have to be paying attention to what our congressmen and senators are doing and hold them accountable while we still can. Things are bad now, and they're not going to get any better. Please pay attention, be in contact with your elected officials, and pray for our nation. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
I'm happy to report that the Army is looking at alternative ways to help wounded soldiers find their new normal. One of the things they're using is called horse therapy. You heard that right. Horses. Horses have a way of showing soldiers what emotions and tensions they've been holding in. The horse mirrors a soldier's feelings and makes it okay to heal. Programs like this are real-life examples of what wounded service members can do outside of just the gym or the clinic. It gives them the confidence that they can go back and do regular life activities. You see, these soldiers have a new normal, and this helps them find that new normal. The way a horse interacts with the service members helps them to progress. There's something about the horses that just kind of brings out self-awareness. The director of the program at Fort Campbell said he's had soldiers go from just being there sitting in the corner, not even talking to anyone, to now trying new jobs and getting out. The group at Fort Campbell works with a farm outside of Nashville, Tennessee, and provides service members an opportunity to work intensively with the horses. At the farm, service members work all day in a three-day session. They lead horses around the farm's indoor and outdoor rings, groom them, get physically and mentally close to them, and let the horses take the lead. This helps bring the service members out of their sense of isolation due to the mental or physical trauma. And not only does work with the horses help, but the service members who participate also start connecting with others that are going through the therapy. Many times the soldiers exchange phone numbers, go out and have dinner together, and help support each other. The program truly helps to get soldiers out of their isolation. Now, while equine therapy is not covered by TRICARE, there are many free or low-cost community options for wounded service members and veterans to participate. So far, the group at Fort Campbell has put more than 4,000 military members and families through the program free of charge. So there are several options out there for this type of therapy. For example, the nonprofit group Heroes and Horses offers combat veterans a 41-day program all around the United States. You can find more options by simply Googling horse therapy for veterans. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really appreciate your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss his latest book with General Jerry Boykin. Then we'll talk with Army veteran and Ranger John Tellier. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break and do another 50, then stand at ease.
This is Lieutenant Colonel retired John Barry, managing partner of Barry Law. For over 50 years, Barry Law has defended the rights of Americans, both on the battlefield and in the courtroom. We are committed to supporting our fellow service members. If you need help appealing your VA disability decision, find us at PTSDlawyers.com or call 888-883-2483.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show General Jerry Boykin. He was a founding member and former commander of the Delta Force. He spent 36 years in the U.S. Army. He's also the founder of Kingdom Warriors Ministry and executive vice president of Family Research Council, so he's not bored. And he's my brother in Christ. We're both committed Christians. Thanks for joining us today, General.
I am delighted to be with you. Thanks for having me on the program.
Sir, start by telling us briefly about your time in the Army.
Yeah, I spent 36 and a half years in the Army. I came out of Virginia Tech Corps of Cadets and took a commission and went directly into the Army. I was an infantry officer, and I did a couple of tours, one at Fort Hood, Texas, and then I went to Korea, where I wound up in Vietnam with the Koreans, and then I came back and was in another division, and the Rangers were being formed at that time, and I was selected to be one of the original members of the Rangers, which was an incredible experience. And then I was chosen to be one of the original members of the Delta Force, and that set me on a pathway to really probably some of my most memorable and in many ways enjoyable, but also difficult years during my time in the Delta Force. And ultimately, I commanded all the Green Berets and did a tour at the CIA. And then my last 4 years in the military during the Bush administration, I was the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence when Donald Rumsfeld was the Secretary of Defense. I finished my career in 2007.
Okay, sir. And then you've also spent more than a few years with the Family Research Council. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it was a great transition. I had the opportunity in 2012 to come to Family Research Council and be the executive vice president, and I did not want to do that simply because I did not want to come back to Washington. But in the end, Tony Perkins, the president here, prevailed, and he brought me back here as his executive vice president. And I am I'm happy to say that I'm still here, still serving as the executive vice president, and very glad that I made this transition here to the Family Research Council, where, as you probably know, and most of your audience knows, we're on the front lines here in Washington, D.C., and we're in a continual state of spiritual warfare here. But that said, we are also greatly blessed as we set about trying to influence public policy that supports faith, family, and freedom.
And that faith, family, and freedom, that's sort of what we fought to defend, isn't it, sir?
It is. You and I and those like us took an oath to the Constitution of the United States. And in doing so, what we did was we took an oath saying that we would support and defend that Constitution. It is that Constitution that gives us the opportunity to practice our faith, that gives us the freedoms that we know as American citizens. And then obviously it's that same Constitution that allows us to make the choices to how and where we raise our families. And so I'm just delighted to be part of this. And it's just a continuation, as far as I am concerned, of my military career, because it's still a warfare every day, but with greater rewards. And that's the blessings of God.
Yes, sir. I'm often fond of saying that we're all in the army of God. And in the army of God, there's only two ranks, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and private. So we don't have to worry about outranking each other in the army of God. We just got to do our job.
Amen. I agree with you.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Jerry Boykin. Okay, sir, your book is entitled Strong Courageous, subtitled A Call to Biblical Manhood. It's pretty clear to most people, is to me, that we have a crisis in our nation, and oops, while this isn't politically correct, men are the heart of the crisis. That's a lot of what your book's about. That was when I read it. I got it right, didn't I?
You nailed it. Our men are being so denigrated today. Listen, men in America are an endangered species right now, as far as I am concerned, because the leftist movement, the Marxist in America, told us in 1958 in a book called The Naked Communist that was written by a former Soviet agent named Skousen exactly how they were going to take over America. And one of the things that they made very clear was they were going after families. You go after the father, you go after the man, and you go after the family. If you take the man out of the family, or you get the man distracted, or you get the man engaged in all kinds of aberrant behavior, you destroy the family. And that's what they told us they were going to do. And what you see today, in terms of this notion of toxic masculinity and the fact that men don't really have to be men if they don't want to, they can, regardless of their genitalia, they can be a woman if they choose to, and that men don't really have a role here that a woman can't play, and that is simply not biblical. You know, the Bible is very clear, I think, in terms of what a man is supposed to be. And my first book, The Strong and Courageous, is actually my second book on this topic. The first book was called Man to Man, and I outlined five things that men are supposed to be. Now, men are supposed to be a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and ultimately a chaplain or a spiritual head. And Strong and Courageous is the sequel to that, where I use Joshua. That's why the term strong and courageous. What did God tell him before he led the Israelites across the Jordan River? He said, be strong and courageous. He told him that multiple times. And I think that Joshua exemplified those five traits that I just talked about, that I just mentioned. He exemplified those. He was a man in every way. Now, there is one thing that I discovered, though, Denny, when I was doing the research on this book. We all think that because Joshua led the Israelites out into the desert at the end of his time, when he knew he was about to go to be with the fathers, as they say, and he told the Israelites to choose ye this day which God you will serve, whether the God of your fathers they served on the other side of the Euphrates River, or whether it's the God of the Amorites in whose land you stand, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can find nowhere in the Bible that there's any reference to Joshua ever being married or having children of his own. But he was, no question, he was the tribal head. He was speaking just beyond what would have been his own little nuclear family if he had had one. He was speaking to the future of his tribe, of the people for which he was responsible. And that is one of the things that I think we have lost in America, in Christianity, is that the men need to step up and be that leader, but also be that spiritual head. And that's what's, I think, missing in so many of our families today, our Christian families.
Well said, sir. There's a lot more to discuss about this. I consider this book and this interview a call to action for men. General Boykin's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time to join me for some push-ups. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, some days. I did today. Then take a break to stay in the area. We'll be right back. Troops America has changed, and if you're like me, you'd defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield, the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. We bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Jerry Boykin about his book, which is a call to action for men. You know, when quiet quitting, I can't even believe this, but it's out there, is a popular with Generation Z and millennials and some others. The biblical case is that we're supposed to work and work hard, especially men. I got that from your book, but I knew it before I read your book. Talk about that, sir.
Well, 2 Thessalonians says that he who shall not work, neither shall he eat. I mean, that's a mandate to work. What has our welfare system done to us? We have robbed men of their dignity because we've made it more profitable for them to just stand on the street corners and smoke cigarettes and maybe deal a little dope or something than to get out and work. Now, every man reaches a point where he retires and lives off the fruit of his labor. But an able-bodied man that does not work is outside of God's will for that man, unless he is disabled in some way. And we have a lot of men now in America that don't see an imperative for them to work and provide for the financial needs of their family. And I think that we've got to relook at the way we do our social welfare, because we are killing our men. We're destroying their self-esteem, their image of themselves, and that has to change.
Yes, sir. I'm in my 80s, and the thought of being non-productive, I can go goof off for a week on vacation. Believe me, I'm good at that. But I got to have something productive that I'm doing as a part of my life, right? I don't know what I do. I've never been in the non-productive mode. So I certainly follow that significantly. What are some teaching opportunities that men might be missing, particularly men who are fathers? I know that was a big role for me, and I knew it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things that I emphasize in the book is, in Man to Man, in this book as well, is as men have to teach their sons and daughters, especially, they have to teach them to endure hardships. You see, we as a nation, I think, have gotten very soft. You know, you look at the what the people that went before us had to endure, and now we've got a a nation that they want something for nothing. They feel like somebody owes them something. Well, what we need to do is teach them to endure hardship. Listen, Denny, I'm an old Ranger, and my son went through Ranger school in one of the worst classes that they had had in years because of the weather, particularly in the mountains. And he explained to me, he said, "Dad," he said, "the reason that I made it through, there were 245 that started, and I think 125 of the original group actually went all the way through and finished it." And he said, "the reason that I made it in that terrible weather we had was because you had taken me out and you had put me in a duck blind and you had put me in a tree stand for deer. And when the weather was awful and you had marched me on the Appalachian Trail with a rucksack that was way too heavy for me." And he said, "Dad, the reason I made it was because I knew I could." And he said, "those other guys didn't know they could make it because they'd never been through anything like this." We need to teach our children to endure hardship. The other thing is we need to teach them to be accountable. And I had one of my sons, as I write it in the book, was using my car one night, or his mother's car, and he got caught speeding in Washington, D.C. And they asked him if he had any weapons in the car, and he said, "well, I might have a pistol in there. It belongs to my mom or dad." And sure enough, he did, and they confiscated the pistol and put him in jail. Well, guess what? When they called me, he wasn't supposed to be in Washington. He had lied to me about that. So when they called me, I said, "well, tell him to enjoy his evening there at jail." And I let him stay there. I wanted him to see that there were consequences. And that is a small story about a much bigger issue of young people being accountable for their own actions and their own decisions. And that's one of the things we have to teach them. There are consequences. When you make a bad decision, there are consequences.
Well, that certainly is the truth of life. And I know an awful lot of people who still don't realize that. So, yes, sir. Let me ask you one more question. Talk about Joshua, the significance of knowing our history. I know an awful lot of people that don't know anything about our history.
Boy, I tell you, I'm glad you brought that up. Joshua, as he led those people out in that desert there, what did he do? He went through the entire history of them coming out of Egypt. You know, Moses had done the same thing. And it was all about what God had done for the Israelites, how he had brought them out of bondage, and how important he had been to them, and how he had saved them and revived them. And then you look at the public school system today, and you will find that the Marxists have removed American history. And what they've supplemented or replaced it with really was socialism. And they told us again in 1958 in the book, The Naked Communists, they told us that's what they were going to do. They were going to remove American history so we would lose our pride in being Americans. And they were going to replace it with socialism so we'd have a generation of people that believed that socialism was at least equal to capitalism. There is nothing more important except the Bible that we should be reading every day. When we lay down at night, read your Bible and then pick up the history book that you happen to be reading at that time about American history. And what you're going to find is not going to be too long before you're going to start to see America different if you're of this generation that has been denied the opportunity to know American history. You're going to find out there's been some great sacrifices made, not just for our own country, but for all the world. We've saved continents of people by sacrificing the lives of our youth and fighting wars that ultimately meant their liberation. You need to know about that. And today's generation knows very little about it.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gill on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Jerry Boykin. Sir, we're about out of time. What are some of the key points you'd want our listeners to be sure to take away from our talk today?
Yeah, I want them to take away the fact that there is no such thing as toxic masculinity. You may have bad people, but you don't have toxic masculinity. Get over the nonsense, because masculinity, when practiced according to God's design, is not toxic. The second thing is you need to get engaged in two things. One is a Bible study that will take you all the way through the Word of God in a specified period of time. And number two, you need to have a prayer life that brings you before the Lord every single day. And if you look at Ephesians 6, putting on the whole armor of God, that's the two themes that run through that. Being in prayer and being in the Bible. Read the Word and pray to your Maker every single day.
Yes, sir. That certainly works for everybody I know who does it. And your book is Strong Courageous. Where can people buy a copy of that? Where can listeners go?
You can go to the Family Research Council, FRC.org, and you can find the resources on there and you can get a copy, or you can go to Amazon. You can get it at Amazon or any place that online that sells books.
Strong and Courageous by General Jerry Boykin. And how can listeners stay in touch with you? You've got more going than we just have talked about. How can they want to stay plugged in?
I'm on Facebook. I have two Facebook accounts. The one that they probably should go to is Lieutenant General Boykin. And that's where I put all my media hits and everything, and they can stay in touch with me there. Or you can stay in touch with me at the Family Research Council and just simply email me at the Family Research Council, and my assistant or I will respond to you if you have a question or something that we can do for you.
Thank you, sir. General, thanks for joining us today, and thank you for your service to our nation in uniform and now. I'm proud to call you friend and brother. God bless you.
Well, God bless you, Denny, and thanks for your service too, old soldier.
And I am an old soldier, and I'm not going to stop being one. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Army vet John Tellier about the U.S. Army Ranger Association and his business, Jetco. Then we'll review last weekend's Surface Academy football games, and we'll discuss the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones, grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.